Hello, I'm Ian Stone. Thanks for tuning in after another Ram to the Rafters week of football. So let's not mess about because there's a lot to talk about. The football's on. Yes, we're back with another feast of football funniness. And unlike Ellen Road, we've started on time. We'll talk about the resurgence of the Reds at Anfield, the cash concerns at the Camp Nou, and possibly the sulkiest footballer on the planet as we try to get inside the mind of Kylian Mbappe. But before we do all that, I should introduce our guests, and we've mixed it up a bit this week. We have the experience and know-how of our regular guest, Lloyd Griffith, and the youthful exuberance and excitement of our debutante, Adam Rowe. Nice to see you. Adam, I'll start with you. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks very much.
What have you noticed? What have you noticed this week?
The bet that Drake placed on, he put an $800,000 double on Leeds to beat Arsenal and Barcelona to beat Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And it would have got him back about $4 million, I think. And everyone just seemed to be focused on what a ridiculous part of the bet Barcelona was, as if like Leeds were like this insurmountable favourite to overcome runaway league leaders. Arsenal, I'm wondering what level of success I'd have to be placing $800,000 bets on two rank outsiders. I told my mate the other day, I had a bet on, so I said to my mate, I've got a feeling Liverpool are going to beat City 5-2. And I said, I think I've got like a tenner or like 12 quid in me betting account online. I said, whatever I find in there, I'm going to put that on 5-2. And I opened my betting account and I'd won a bet that I didn't know I'd won. So there was 100 quid
oh,
in it.
No.
So I had to put the, because I told him I was going to do it, I had to put 100 quid.
No,
I did. If you then back away from that and don't do it and it comes in and you're left with 120 quid instead of 12 grand, then do you know what I mean? I felt like I had to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All I would say, Adam, is never go into a betting shop again, okay? Lloyd.
Stoney, can I say, like, mate, you do it on your phones now, Stoney.
Yeah.
You're a bit behind.
Do you?
You don't have to go into a shop anymore, mate. Just so you know, you can get an app, right? We'll have to explain what an app is after this, but you can just do it all on your phone. Also, I think the Drake bet was pretty sure had he placed that bet in 1991. you know, they both come through, I think.
Yeah, 1991, when we won the league. Leeds ain't going to beat us then, mate. But anyway, Lloyd, what have you noticed?
I've noticed that Hull City don't quite know how tall goalposts are supposed to be, even though they've been operating as a football team for quite some time now. I'm not sure if you noticed the other day, Hull versus Birmingham was delayed by 20 minutes because the referee noticed that the goals were too tall. And so they basically then had to like trim the goalposts by 2 inches. And if I'm honest, as a goalkeeper who was too short as a kid, that was my absolute dream. Going onto a pitch and the referee going, those goals are too high, we need to trim that. Because that was like literally my dream. That was the only thing that was stopping me being a professional footballer, which was that the goals were too high. And I saw a lot of the replies to the Hull City's tweet when they tweeted, oh, we've got to trim the goalposts down. I saw a lot of replies saying tin pot, which I don't think is accurate because it's now twisted plastic, polythene. Gone are the days of tin or metal goalposts.
True.
What kind of nerd was the referee, by the way, that he can come on and from the centre circle see that the goalposts are 2 inches too big?
I agree.
50 yards away.
I also think it's interesting they had a saw handy as well, because I mean, I'm sure that we've got all sorts of things at Emirates, defibrillators, all sorts, but a saw, really? Anyway, Liverpool beat Manchester City, not 5-2, at a pulsating Anfield on Sunday. Adam, you were there.
Yes,
it looked great on the telly, and at one point we had to turn the volume down because it was so loud. But was there not a little bit of asking yourselves, well, where has this team been all season?
No, to be honest with you, like, as disappointing as the start of the season's been for Liverpool, a lot of Liverpool fans are just a bit, I think we're as exhausted as the players seem to be from last year's attempt at winning everything.
You've given it all, haven't you?
Yeah, so I think there's a sort of level of understanding through, like, obviously, if you look at like Twitter and stuff, any team's fan base on Twitter, and Liverpool's is probably the worst example of this. There's so many lunatics who hide behind a Twitter account that's got a picture of a footballer, and they're called like Flashy Fabinho 4, and they it's obviously just a 12-year-old with opinions that don't belong anywhere near any sort of informed footy debate. But realistically, Liverpool have punched massively above their weight for the past 4 or 5 years, and a little bit of a drop off with a brand new system coming in. Like, we've gone from playing with two really wide forwards and a false nine to now trying to play with a focal centre forward, and now, because that hasn't quite worked out at the start of the season, he's gone two up top. Things, it's going to take a little bit of time to change at Liverpool, and the past week has definitely been positive, and I'm allowing myself to get a little bit excited again.
Lloyd, I don't want to stray into the realms of cliche, but would it be true to say that you should never write off Mo Salah?
Yes and no. Like, he's got it in his locker, but I mean, he had been a bit woeful this season. Hopefully Adam doesn't. Oh, okay, right, yeah, all right. No, but he has, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was last 3 or 4 seasons just been knocking him, like scoring and scoring and scoring, and this season it was just like he's not really, you know, he's not really been doing it.
He's been the most creative player in Europe. Like, statistically.
Yeah, I know, but at the end of the, I know, but when you go onto a website, it says league, and then it says top scorers, and then it doesn't say, like, most creative footballer. Like, it is a stat. It's, like, expected goals and stuff. And I know he is creative, but it is, you know, creativity doesn't win you the league unless you do score goals. Is that
totally
right?
But he's been playing on the right side of a midfield, not on the right wing. Like,
in
the past week, he's played 110 minutes up front and scored 4 goals.
Yeah.
In 110 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's true. It was against a good Rangers. Week for Liverpool. They beat Rangers 7-1 at Ibrox a few days earlier. Mo Salah scored a hat-trick in 6 minutes and 12 seconds, or in common parlance, slightly under one Chancellor of the Exchequer. When I was growing up, Celtic or Rangers were tricky opponents, but now I think any top 6 Premier League team would fancy themselves against either one of them. Adam, it's also not a long trip, although if you're going Avanti West Coast, you'd leave now, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I was gutted I couldn't make it up there to Glasgow last week. But as we can say, Rangers aren't quite what they used to be, and that they're not a tough opposition anymore. 7 goals in any game in Europe past any team in a Champions League game is worth talking about. And a 6 minute he scored a hat trick in less time than it takes Elton John to sing Tiny Dancer. That's a fact. Like, it took less time than that song does. Like, he could have like American Pie still had like most of the song to go if you'd have had American Pie on.
Yeah.
Like, it was. Yeah,
you'd barely get to the guitar solo in Bohemian Rhapsody, would you? And he's already got a hat trick. I mean, it is true. I understand what you're saying. I mean, Lloyd, back in the day, Celtic and Rangers were a very popular team when it came to testimonial opponents. I don't know if you lads remember testimonial, but you knew that 10,000 of their fans would travel down to London for a friendly on a Tuesday night in November.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm not going to come on here and slate Celtic and Rangers.
Because you've got tour shows in Glasgow.
Yeah, mainly I'm doing Glasgow and then Aberdeen actually next year, LloydGriffiths.com for tickets. But they are well-respected teams. And there's always that thing of going, oh, you know, if you put Rangers and Celtic in the Premier League, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be able to like even have a sniff at like top 4 or top 5. They're a championship team at best. I don't believe any of that. And also, you're never gonna know, are you? You know what I mean, I know Scotland want independence at the moment, which is not helping this idea of them moving into the Premier League anyway. So I guess the thing is, we will never know. How good looking would I be if I lost 5 stone? We will never know. Okay, so you just got to move on and just accept that this is what we look like.
This is the reality. Before the game, Jurgen Klopp had a press conference talking about the financial clout of certain clubs and how there are now 3 clubs in the world who have no ceiling when it comes to spending. Adam, does it spoil the game for you, or is it just an extreme version of what Man United had for 20 years?
No, I find it hard to sort of overly criticise it, because I think most fan bases in football, if they were in the positions of those clubs, would sort of be happy with it. I can honestly say that I wouldn't be. I'd rather Liverpool be run the way they are and responsibly financially and whatever. But obviously, I'm in a privileged position to be able to say that because I'm a Liverpool fan. It's obviously not good for football if a team can literally just in one league outspend everybody and dominate the, like, if Liverpool hadn't had Jurgen Klopp and hadn't put the runs together that they have over the past few seasons, how boring would this league have become, really? Because City would have ran away with every single league title. And then we become, one of the leagues that we've laughed at. Like, people laugh at League One in France because technically PSG run away with it every year, although that doesn't always happen, as we've seen.
I think that is actually a fair point, really. Thank heavens for Coutinho, I say then, really, because it enabled you to get Alisson and Van Dijk.
I loved Coutinho so much. You know, I was gutted when he went. If I could just go back to myself on the day he was sold now and be like, this is actually the start of everything, so just calm down, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool's 1-0 win meant that the Haaland goal drought continued to cast a long shadow over Manchester City. Since scoring midway through the second half of City's comfortable 4-0 win over Southampton, Erling has failed to score in the remaining 25 minutes and the next game. That's now over 100 minutes of football without finding the net. Adam, when does City cut their losses and get rid?
Well, I'm just saying, I think they should stick with him for a while because it'll benefit Liverpool, because he's obviously, a bit of a dead horse at this stage. I'm just saying, it's over 100 minutes since he last scored a goal. In Mo Salah's last 100 minutes, he scored 4. So, who's really the best player in the Premier League? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, come on!
Erling Haaland could not score 3 goals through the whole of an Elton John album, could he? Let's be fair.
Look, I haven't offered an opinion there, Lloyd. I've just told you 2 facts. In the last 110 minutes that Erling Haaland's played, he scored 0. And in the last 110 minutes Mo Salah's played, he scored 4. And was like a slither of Edison's finger away from making it 5. They're facts. They're not opinions. They're absolute facts.
No, they are. I think everyone needs to calm down as well, because I'd love those kind of stats. Like, look at Grimsby. Our top goal scorer is a midfielder, right, who scored 5 goals this season. That works out at a goal every 239 minutes. Okay, all right, which is far from ideal. Harry Clifton, love him. Born and bred Grimsby, is one of our own. Okay, so Haaland, what is it, 54 minutes in the Premier League he's scoring? I would love that.
But well, I mean, bet you would.
Yeah, but I mean, I still prefer Harry Clifton over Erling Haaland any day
and
of the week.
Why wouldn't you? He has a
actually an opinion, not a fact.
Alan Shearer said that if Harry Kane was playing for Man City, he'd score as many goals as Erling Haaland. Lloyd, is it like we said? Could anyone score a hatful of goals for City, or is it just elite level strikers?
No, I think he's definitely elite level strikers. I mean, even if you look at the rest of the people that they've got, like Foden, well, to be fair, Foden scored a hat-trick, but famously he is very good. Yeah, and then underneath that, I was having a look at their stats last night. There's only a few people that have got a couple here and there. Like, De Bruyne's only scored 1 this season. I know he's like coming back, into the place.
Mahrez ain't scored that many. He's made about 12, hasn't he?
Yeah, but again, well done for making them. But you're not going to get what are you going to get for making something at the end of the season? Like a saw and a glue statue. Do you know what I mean? It's a little making award. Do you know what I mean? It's the golden boot. That is all you care about. Okay. Haaland is
a machine.
5 years' time, 6 years' time, there's going to be a massive expose. And then we're not going to know the exact details, but some government's going to come out and go, yeah, do you know what? He shouldn't have been playing football. Like, there's something wrong with him. Either extraterrestrial or mechanical, or, he was part of a government experiment. But yeah, I think 5 years' time, we're going to be like, yeah, no, we need to erase all the records for the last 5 years. I should not have been playing football.
I think you're giving a lot of credit to the Norwegian government there. they don't scream.
You say
they
that,
don't
mate.
Scream.
They've been under the radar.
They do go under the radar. Yeah, so they don't actually scream. Yeah,
literally.
Mass conspiracy world superpower, do they?
Not mass conspiracy. They've built.
But that's what they've been doing. They've been playing it very cool for the last 15 to 20 years. 5 years' time, when they're putting out robots, like 3.5 million robots like Erling Haaland, you know what I mean? And that's it. It's RoboCop time. We're done.
Everyone's got their eye on Russia, and it should be Norway they're keeping their eye on.
I mean, after Spurs won 2-0 over Everton at the weekend, a number of pundits, including Jamie Carragher and BT Sport's very own Chris Sutton, called Harry Kane out for diving. Now, obviously, as a gooner, I'm completely objective when it comes to making judgments on Tottenham's captain. But what do you think, Adam? Is he Tottenham's very own Mo Salah?
Excuse me. Wow. He's well...
I think that's an opinion there, not a fact. That's an opinion.
He's well worse than Mo Salah. Salah will often get a bit of light contact and go down. He has done that before.
Light contact.
Yeah, he will get contact and go down. Harry Kane dives. And people don't like talking about it because he's Tottenham's captain and he's England's captain and he's the golden boy. And Mo Salah is the Egyptian king and should be... Keep his name out of your mouth, Mr. Stone.
Hey, and that is not a fact. That is an opinion. Okay,
does sound legally, like
legally he's not the king. Not to bring it back to Grimsby, but that's what I've done my whole career. We've not got one penalty this whole season. Grimsby Town not got one penalty this season.
Have you been in the opposition penalty area, Lloyd?
Well, that's by the by, Ian. I don't know why. Right, let's move on to the next bit. Come on.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Lloyd. I mean, I think it's safe to say that if Harry Kane continues to go over a bit easily, he's not going to be Mr. Popular with fans of other Premier League clubs. Whereas if he does it during the World Cup against France or Germany, he's a national hero and Sir Harry.
We honestly, if he brings the World Cup home by two dubious dives, we just make him Prime Minister, because quite honestly...
Well, he's going to get a turn at this point anyway, isn't he?
Oh, he'll do a better job than whoever it is who is Prime Minister when this goes out.
Part two of The Football's On. Ian Stone, Lloyd Griffith and Adam Rowe. Every few months on this show, we do a story about Barcelona being skint. And after last week's draw with Inter, things seem to be coming to a head. Their first financial restructuring, the equivalent of buying a holiday home while the bailiffs are taking away your telly, kept them afloat for a few months. But it was predicated on them getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And it now looks more likely that they'll drop into the Europa League, leaving them short the small matter of 18 million quid. They should come over here, Lloyd. With that sort of money management, they could go to the very top.
Of where? Maybe the National League. I think they'd do all right, like between them and Wrexham. I feel sorry for them, though. You know what I mean? It's almost getting to the point now where, you know, we might even have to send them some players, like, out of pity, because they've got no one. Like, just send them a couple of academy lads. You're like, hey, Edwin Essel, do you fancy a gap year in Barcelona? Do you know what I mean? Off you pop. Like, Aaron Braithwaite, go and find yourself in the Basque Country, which is not a euphemism. How much are they in debt by? $1.3 billion?
It's hard to say how much they're in debt, really. They've overspent trying to chase Manchester City and the behemoths of the Premier League, and they're going to be in serious problems. Obviously, losing Messi was a bit of a problem as well. There are various plans afoot to keep them going. They will have to lease future TV rights and in-house studios, or alternatively, they might sell 49% of their merchandising arm. Adam, you got a bit of spare cash? You could own their socks.
I would absolutely. Even if I had Drake money, they'd be getting nothing from me. I don't like Barcelona. I don't like Real Madrid. I think they've bullied the rest of Europe for years. It's felt like whenever they want a player, they just get to have them. Like, no one ever gets a say in it. It's just like, oh, we want Philippe Coutinho, actually, so we're just going to have him. And we're like, well, we don't want to sell him, actually. And it's like, no, well, we're just going to have him. And there's nothing you can do about it. They are architects of their own downfall, and it's beautiful to watch. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. And they've gambled massively. The financial plan they've put in place is essentially they're still spending now and borrowing on... They've basically gambled on the fact they're going to be successful in the next 3 years. They've got to pretty much win every La Liga, or like two of the next three. And they've probably got to win two of the next five Champions Leagues as well, and just become what they were a decade ago. And they're not going to do it. And when they don't, then they'll be they'll be so, so, so ruined, and I'm going to enjoy watching it because they're bullies.
I mean, I'm not gonna take the mickey out of Barcelona, mainly because I'm on tour there next season. Head to my website for tickets.
I mean, they're currently sponsored by Spotify, as Adam mentioned earlier, and they have a Drake-sponsored shirt after the Canadian rapper became the first artist to reach 50 billion streams on the site, for which he's earned £24.50. So very well done him, I say. Lloyd, it does look like Barcelona were being sponsored by Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, I do like that. Because if you think of Sheffield Wednesday back in the day, they were like, it was iconic, the owl, and then Sanderson. And I think Sanderson's like, is it a fax machine company?
I don't know.
The outskirts of Sheffield. So I would quite like it if Barcelona just went full 360 and just was sponsored by Sanderson, a fax machine company on the outskirts of Hillsborough.
You know what? It might come to that, to be honest, because as Adam said, they're in trouble. I mean, as Adam also mentioned, the weekend didn't start well for my fellow member of the tribe, Drake. He had a £500,000 bet on his team to win El Clasico. They lost 3-1 at the Bernabeu. Whatever, Barcelona appear to have adopted a we have no money, but we'll still spend huge amounts of money approach. Okay. Adam, that always ends well, doesn't it?
It always ends really, really, really well. I'm struggling to contain my joy at the demise of this club.
I'm with you. I watched them cheat their way through games. I watched Busquets do all sorts of professional fouls, and then they turn to Messi and he does something magical. They were nice to watch, though, weren't they, to be
they
fair?
Were, you know, they were Guardiola's sort of the first iteration of his football philosophy, and they were absolutely unbelievable a while ago. But they've made so many mistakes at such a high level, both in terms of like boardroom level and then at coaching level, and the certain personnel they brought in didn't quite work out. Ousmane Dembele looks like he's going to come good, so that investment's going to be there. God knows what they did with Philippe Coutinho, because he looked like the best player in the world for a while. Griezmann, what a loss. Well. And he's now back at Atletico for €20 million when they bought him for €140 million. They've made so many mistakes. And there's you can't really afford to make one or two of the mistakes they've made 8 to 9 to 10 of. I think they're in serious trouble because they've gambled so heavily on immediate success, and I just don't see it coming, especially with, like, look at Madrid's midfield for the next decade. They've already sorted it. And if Madrid were to win the race for Jude Bellingham next year as well, on top of...
Where'd you go?
It's over. How do they get near Real Madrid now? Like,
Lloyd. I always think about the Pope in these circumstances, because he's like member number one for Barcelona. He must be a bit gutted, the Pope.
Yeah, I he probably doesn't get involved in these kind of matters, to be fair, does he? I've never seen him wear a strip. Do you know what I mean? Like Snoop Dogg always wears like about 4 or 5 different strips, or even, you know, you'll see Drake wear them. You never really see the Pope with like 2 or 3 different tops on, do you? It's always like there's just the same white cassock. I read an article last night that said that Barcelona are in £1.4 billion worth of debt.
Yes.
And to put that into perspective, they would be a credible party in government over here. Does that work? Can you just put a football team in charge of a government?
It might work. Meanwhile, over in Paris, a club with no money worries at all have got their own problems. The French superstar striker Kylian Mbappe wants to leave PSG. Lloyd, how can someone not want to play football with Messi and Neymar?
Also, not just playing football with Messi and Neymar, you're on more than £500,000 living in Paris. I mean,
not bad.
It doesn't get much better than that, does it? I'm not going to take anything away from English cities, you know what I mean? I think English cities are absolutely amazing. But, like, that's just the dream, isn't it? £500,000 in the most beautiful city in the world. Like, what's he going to do? Go to Swansea? Like, go to Newcastle? Like, Newcastle could come in for him with the amount of money they've got. Do you know what I mean? Do you really want to go from, like, Paris to Newcastle? I mean, mate, just stick with it.
I'm assuming the tour isn't going to Newcastle, Lloyd.
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to get involved in that.
No.
Well, actually. It's the first date of the tour, but I've ruined that.
Well, you've blown that one, haven't you? I mean, the truth is, Adam, as Lloyd said, there are only 5 or 6 clubs in the world who can afford him. Real Madrid have said no. I can't see him wanting to play in the Europa League with Man United. Chelsea are a team in transition, and I'm not sure where he fits in at Manchester City. I mean, Adam, essentially, the only team that fits the criteria are PSG.
Yeah, so hopefully they come in for him. I mean, you know, that'd be really good for him if they were to want him. Liverpool will link with him again this week. Like, every sort of journalist has said there's going to be a battle between Real Madrid and Liverpool for him. It's just so obviously not going to happen. Liverpool, firstly, couldn't afford him. And he obviously, even if you stretch your imagination and go, do you know what? Liverpool have kept this cash reserve for the right player for 5 years or whatever. And that is either Jude Bellingham or Mbappe. And they're going to get Mbappe because he's now available. Like, I don't know how he fits into the ethos at Liverpool. It's so sort of family and team built. And he's obviously...
It's a team,
he's obviously just a bit of a superstar, spoiled brat. Like, and you can understand his frustration at PSG not being the main guy. I feel sorry for Neymar.
Why go?
I feel sorry for Neymar because Neymar left Barcelona.
Whoever said that sentence? But whoever said that sentence?
Just think about like what's happened to him over the past few years, though. He left Barcelona because he felt like he was constantly under the shadow of Lionel Messi. He goes to Barcelona, he's there for what, an hour and a half, and they go,
goes
to PSG, sorry. And they bring, they go, right, you're the superstar, and then they go, hang on, actually, we're going to bring Mbappe in, who's like the hottest property in world football, and he's like, right, okay, but at least I'm the mentor to him. And then Mbappe sort of eclipses him immediately because he's this global superstar and becomes the most wanted property in world football. And it's constantly, is he going to Madrid? Is he going somewhere else? And then they go, do you know what, Neymar? Yeah. Just to put the final nail in that coffin, we're going to bring Messi over as well. It was the guy you were trying to escape from. And it's going to be the biggest like transfer story of all time. Messi's leaving Barcelona. I feel sorry for Neymar. He's constantly just trying to be the number one guy. And I think it's him who's got to leave, actually. And if he was to go somewhere like Newcastle, that would be good for him. Because then he's going to be untouchable there. For Neymar to get the attention and the adulation that he's always wanted, he's got to go to essentially a startup. He's got to go to a startup company. You know, like when a CEO goes and puts his money into a little company. That's what he's going to have to do. Neymar needs to go to a Newcastle or, like, just go to Aston Villa.
Bournemouth.
Just go and be the number one guy at a smaller club because he's clearly never going to get it if he stays at one of the elite ones.
I can see him enjoying himself in the big market on a Saturday night. I can. I read a piece, actually, in The Guardian that said that his teammates, this is Mbappe, are bemused by his demeanour, which lurches between jovial and morose day to day. I mean, they're essentially playing football with a teenager. And as the father of two boys who used to be teenagers, I can tell you that when they behave like that, the only thing that works is relentless sarcasm and mickey taking. I mean, Lloyd... What sort of dressing rooms are these? He wouldn't get away with it at Grimsby, would he?
No, they're large dressing rooms for a start.
They are large, comfortable, well-appointed.
Do you know there's only two power sockets in the changing room at Grimsby Town?
I didn't know that, but thank
you. Now, well, obviously, there are extension leads nowadays, but yeah. I mean, just the egos. As Adam alluded there, you've got like three of the biggest players in the world. Like, I couldn't even begin to imagine how you massage those egos. And you've got teams, you know, like Liverpool and Man City that have got some of the best players in the world, but it seems to work. But for whatever reason, with these three, it just doesn't work, does it?
No.
It just absolutely doesn't work. It's like the Beatles.
Too much ego on the pitch, essentially. Yeah. I mean, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, persuaded Mbappe to stay at PSG rather than go to Madrid for the good of the nation. It feels like a sound footballing reason to stay at a club. Oh, I stayed at Man United because Liz Truss asked me to. Let's talk about the World Cup. Less than 4 weeks to go until the World Cup starts in the football-crazy country of Qatar. Well, we all asked for a warm weather winter break. Just think of this as a warm weather winter break with a tournament thrown in. England are losing right backs at a rate of one a week, and no doubt there'll be other injury scares between now and the 21st of November when England take on Iran. Yes, a country with an unstable leadership, a mutinous public and a weak currency against Iran. Adam, personally, I was hoping that England would send a team of gay men to wave at the Emir, But it seems like some of our established Premier League talent will also have to make the trip.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest sort of lover of international football, but I love the tournaments normally. I think it's a, you know, we can all have our opinions on whether the World Cup should have been in Qatar, and the answer's probably no, isn't it?
Definitely, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to not get sort of too heated about it.
Have you got a tour show coming up in Qatar?
Yeah. I'm going out to do the Laughter Factory. It's just going to be, I think it might actually end up being quite good for Liverpool from a selfish point of view, a chance to sort of refresh after the break and, you know, use a bit of time. But there shouldn't be a World Cup in the middle of a season. I think it would be really great if, like, there's rumours that there's obviously, rumours is probably the wrong word, but there's chat that there's a couple of Premier League players who are going to the World Cup who are known sort of amongst their inner circles to actually be gay. And I think it would be great if they came out during the World Cup. That would be a real big statement if they were to come out and go, no, this is who we are. And the fact that it's in this country has finally given us sort of the impetus to go, no, this is who I am and I should be okay with it. Because that would be
an enormous story. Yeah. Watch this space, I guess, really. Adam, I'm told the FA are not happy with Chelsea after Reece James, despite having to come off injured during the Champions League game in Milan, was not immediately put in a leg brace and flown back to London, but instead was allowed to stay in Italy for a day so he could do some shopping. Do you think trying on some 2 grand Balenciaga trousers exacerbated the injury?
I mean, they are quite tight, so yeah, that's very possible, actually. I've tried to put some Balenciaga stuff on before, and it is not built for people with my frame.
Reece James is a bit more chiselled, though.
What are you trying to say? You're only seeing me from the stomach up. This is all beer. If you look at my legs, I've got footballers' legs. And it's because they've had to carry this for 3 decades. They've done a lot of work, so I've got fantastic legs, Ian, to be honest with you. I think it's ridiculous that the FA feel like they've got any opinion on what clubs can do with their players before. Like, this is a very biased Liverpool thing. If the FA were to come to Liverpool and go, hey, look, you know, you need to rest this guy and this guy, like, I think they'd be told exactly where they can shove their opinions because a lot of scousers just don't really... You know, they're not overly loving with the national team. Like, I want England to win.
No.
But as soon as they lose, I don't really care. Like, but I'm still not over the final in Kiev.
Lloyd, I mean, it's different for you. I know you've been to England games. You're big into the England games. And obviously, being a fan of a smaller club, it is, you know, the time when you get to see some of these players a bit more regularly. What about the bigger clubs resting players for the World Cup? Do you think that would work?
I mean, there's always been the debate. I mean, club or country, or country over club. And I think realistically, most players do want to play for their club, for their country. Sorry, obviously, I mean they've got to play for their club legally and contractually. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise. But I think players do want to play for England, and I don't really see that, like, people getting out of it at all. You know, there are injuries. I think we've got only nine right backs left to choose from now. So I think we'll be absolutely fine. And what happens is, as well, like, Gareth Southgate has this weird way of just figuring out players that will work in the tournament, like. Last tournament, Calvin Phillips out of nowhere was in the middle of the park, and no one really saw that. So I think we'll get to Qatar, and he'll have someone like Josh De Silva, who no one really knew anything about until about 3 months ago. He'll absolutely boss the midfield, and he'll bring the World Cup back. So I think, you know, just get it done. The way I see this World Cup, and Ian, you'll relate to this, you know, like when you go into a bookies shop, a betting shop, and then you can get the normal horse racing that is normal, actual, real-life horses, and then you get the simulated horse racing that they put on just to try and make more money out of gullible people. That's what I see Qatar as this year, do you know what I mean? It's synthetic, it's not really real. We've just got to imagine it for, like, a few months, come back, proper football.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm pretty much in agreement there. I'm looking forward to watching some synthetic horse racing as well.
Join Ellis James and pals down the clubhouse for a light-hearted and entertaining journey through the history of sport's forgotten, rarely seen, iconic and hotly debated moments. All episodes available now on the BT Sport app.
Now, a quick game of Who Am I? I give the guests three clues and they try and guess who I'm talking about. So, I won the Scottish Premier League Golden Boot 5 times. I won the Premier League whilst on loan at Manchester United, and I was one of Ronald Koeman's assistant coaches at Barcelona up until June 2022. Adam, as your first time on the show, you get first dibs. Who do you
it's
think?
Sol Campbell, obviously.
No, not even. No, it's not.
Is
Sol
it not Sol Campbell?
Premier League.
It must be Henrik Larsson. Then, if it's not Sol Campbell, it was a toss up between the two. Yeah.
Lloyd, I feel like he was messing us about there.
Yeah, no. When it came up for whatever reason, and I wasn't even joking, I looked at it, saw Scottish, then saw Man United, and for whatever reason, I genuinely was like, "Is it Andy Gorham?"
Golden Boot.
But then obviously, yeah, is it Henrik Larsson? I assume.
What a player. What it is, Henrik Larsson? You assume correctly because I gave the answer a minute ago. In the Europa Conference League tie last week between Fiorentina and Hearts, Cristiano Buragi of Fiorentina scored a beautiful free kick and then mimicked Conor McGregor's ring walk as a celebration. It was apparently an homage to the mixed martial artist and occasional bus attacker, and why not? Well, being of a certain age, I'm not too keen on these manufactured celebrations, although our guests may feel differently. Adam, do you like a little dance after scoring, or do you prefer the no-nonsense Alan Shearer one-arm raised in salute?
I feel like scoring a goal should just evoke like a raw emotion in you. Like when a player's just running over to the crowd, like maybe a knee slide or ripping their top off and they're just screaming and going ballistic. Like that's a proper footy celebration. If they've got time to think about it like that, then they don't care enough for me. They care more about the celebration than the goal. It should all just be about what they've just done for their team and what that has done to them emotionally.
It should be Marco Tardelli in the World Cup final, right? Is essentially what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're gone at that point. Lloyd, I mean, Adam mentioned them. What about knee slides like Declan Rice the weekend?
Nothing. No, I don't believe in goal celebrations. I think like it's part and parcel of your like job. Do you know what I mean? Your job is to score a goal. Well done. Get on with it. Do you know what I mean? Like when we deliver a joke at a weekend club, and it goes well, like we don't get on the floor, like, come on, get
it. I do a knee slide on the stage, it's great.
But it's like, it's expected of you. It's expected of you. And I just think it's like, oh, look, you've scored a goal, like, just get on with it. And I think, look, if you do want to celebrate, then this is how we go forward. Every celebration has to be different. You can't copy anyone else. So no knee slide. If someone's done a knee slide, that's it. Do you know what I mean? The old Robbie Keane roll and the gun into the crowd. That's it, that's done. If you want to do a celebration, you've got to do a completely unique celebration, and it's judged by some sort of panel like Strictly Come Dancing.
It's a lot of pressure.
They then assess it. But they then assess it. And if there's any hint that it's like anyone else's, 3-match ban. And then celebrations will be gone. Do you know what I mean? It's part and parcel of your job. You score a goal, you pick the ball out the net, you get on with it. Stop celebrating. Yeah. Move on.
Harsh but fair, Adam. But I mean, I saw Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang do a backflip when he scored the other day. I mean, is it just mere mortals like us who think, oh, he'll hurt himself if he does that again?
Yeah, every time I see someone do acrobatics, so I have this thing, and I have this with all forms of watching something. It's like I feel like I am the person I'm watching. Like, if I'm watching a film, I am Liam Neeson, if he's in the film. I put myself into the... So if I see Aubameyang do a backflip, I'm like, I imagine myself doing it. And I feel like my back will like start hurting because I know what would have happened if I'd have done that. Do you know what I mean? Like I see where I'd get like a third of the way into it and then just hit the floor.
Now you'd be fine with those athletic legs of yours, mate. You've got footballers' legs.
It's
you'll be
top and top heavy. It's like it's just, you can't judge it.
Just carrying a barman.
You can't judge it. You know, like when you throw a bottle in the air and it just spins before you expect it to because there's water left in it. This is all my water up the top. I couldn't judge it.
we had a footballer for Grimsby a few years back, and I really liked him. It took him about 5 or 6 games to score, and you could just see that he really wanted to score. He just hadn't really, and everyone was behind him. Then he finally scored. Then he went off into the corner and did like a double flipping celebration. We were like, "Oh god, that's a shame. He's an idiot." You know what I mean? And no one liked him after that. And now he's playing for Aberystwyth. Not a joke.
Aubameyang made sure to point at the Chelsea badge on his shirt to reinforce who his current employers are. One imagines he won't be removing that shirt in goal celebrations to reveal his Arsenal tattoo. Adam, how do you feel about the baby one or the thumb sucking? I mean, it can't be just me who doesn't want to see a grown man or woman sucking their thumb after scoring a worldie.
Yeah, it creeps me out a little bit. That I'm like, what's the kink here? What's the fetish? I don't really want to be thinking why you're doing that. Do you know what I mean? As a fully grown man, like whatever you want to do in your own house, keep it to yourself. But I don't need to know that you. No, that's not for me. It's got to just be raw emotion and nothing else. Anything that looks planned.
I think he's overthinking it, Lloyd.
No, I think
he's absolutely right. Do you know what I mean? It's mad. And like rocking a baby and doing all that. I'm like, just go and see a therapist.
All right, Lloyd. Oh. Lloyd, what about the pointing to the name celebration? I mean, is that helpful for people with very short memories?
What, to their own name?
Yeah.
No, like again, no.
3-game ban.
Do you know what I mean? Three game ban, yeah, because that's been done. That was done in 1975 when first names were put on the back of shirts. Again, just score a goal, get on with it, pick it up. But why would you want to waste time? You know what I mean? What do you want to do? You want to score goals for your club and country. Why waste time then doing some sort of like lame GCSE performance art?
I must admit, I do agree with you. I remember Olivier Giroud scored his scorpion kick against Crystal Palace. And then he got an equaliser in a game against Bournemouth when we were 3-0 down and we got back to 3-all. And he did the scorpion celebration. And honestly, every Arsenal fan is just going, get the ball, get back to the centre circle. Yeah, we got a chance of winning this game, mate. We don't care. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's have a quick dip into League Two as Lloyd is on the show. I'll be honest, Lloyd, I haven't watched a single minute of League Two this season. Not because I don't want to watch it. I've only got so much football bandwidth. But you get, I looked this up, you get 6,500 on average turning up for home games at Grimsby. Bradford City get almost 17,500 for every home game. I mean, I don't want to be patronising here, but it's alive and well down there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is, it really is. Like, we've had a bit of a renaissance, we've got new ownership, and you know, we've had a bit of a revival, so it's quite nice. But, you know, 6,500 people to go and see a League Two game. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And Bradford have always had like decent numbers. We're playing them this weekend, and they can only bring 1,500. So it's, you know, they're, bless them. They're going to be it's going to be a hot ticket for the Bantams. But yeah, I have to say, like, it's just, you know, whether you think it's the best football in the world, and you know, some people argue it's not.
Best football in the world. It's obviously not. I'm not having a go. It's just obviously not the best football
again,
in the world.
That's opinion, not fact. but people love it. I mean, people love it. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm gutted that I'm going to be missing out this weekend, and it's just so good to see. Not to get too deep and emotional, but just seeing like communities and like supporting the team, even if they're not in the Premier League. It's great to see.
It's as it should be. Adam, can you see a team from League Two or possibly even lower ever coming through to play in the Premier League? Are the finances just too stacked against them now? I mean, it was only 23 years ago that Gillingham, currently residing in 18th place in League Two, were taking on Man City in a bonkers playoff final at Wembley.
I think obviously the odds are always stacked against the sort of the bottom half of the football pyramid. But it is possible. I think it'll be really interesting to see where Wrexham are in 10 years' time with what they're doing. Because obviously the American lads, Ryan, and you're going to have to forgive me.
Rob McElhenney.
Yeah, yeah, Ryan and Rob.
He'll love that.
Ryan and Rob buying Wrexham and getting the TV rights to Welcome to Wrexham. And I think I seen this week their season ticket sales have trebled. And it's done proper wonders for Wrexham as a club. And that will then filter out and do wonders for Wrexham as a city. it'll be interesting to see where they end up, because they will become the cool club to support. Like, if they get as high as the championship, which is not unfeasible at all, then it will become, they will become people's second team, just because of the story behind it and like what's happened there. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that in a decade's time, you see them get towards the Premier League, which will be absolutely hilarious and brilliant at the same time.
And beautiful, yeah. I think.
So we were in the same league as them last season. We actually beat them 5-4 in the playoff semi-final. And they, like, just to put it into, they've got their wage bill is £2.5 million. It's insane. They've got footballers on like £5-6 grand a week. I mean, some even more. Like, it's ridiculous. And they're playing this whole underdog thing, and they're not the underdog at the moment. They will be when they get into League Two. But it is completely doable. Like, you've got Bournemouth, who, Grimsby, we were in a relegation scrap to go down into the conference with them for a few years. And also Brentford as well. They were in League Two. So it's both true. Brentford and Bournemouth, do you know what I mean, were in League Two not a million, you know, years ago. So it is completely possible, but you just got to do it in the right way. You absolutely got to do it in the right way. And I can see Wrexham definitely going into a few leagues above, where the Premier League, I'm not entirely sure, but quite happy to eat my hat.
£2.5 million, by the way, is Erling Haaland's earnings in about 3 weeks. So there is a bit of a financial gap. Each week, we test the guests' football knowledge with some questions about their club and also a couple of general football ones as well. This is our quiz. Call yourself a fan. Here's the table so far. Lloyd sitting up top with Ivo, Nathan and Mark. 4 each. No one has ever scored more than 4, but I've got a good feeling about today. That good feeling is that no one will even get close to 4, but we'll see. Adam, this is your first time on the show. Do you want to go first or
second?
I'll
go first. Why not? Let's get it over with.
Well, that's handy, because your questions are the one that come up next on the prompter.
Good luck, Adam. Sometimes, Adam, just FYI, they don't really do their research and you'll have said the right answer and it'll just be an absolute shambles. So just go with what you believe, mate.
Lloyd loses a point for that. Outrageous slur. All right, Adam. In 2019-2020, Liverpool won the league with 99 points. But how many away wins did they achieve? Was it A, 13, B, 14 or C, 15?
How many away wins?
Yes.
I'm going to go 15.
It was 14, Adam. A club record in one season.
Could be right.
I knew it was a club record, so that's why I went for the higher one. But yeah, there we go.
I like your logic, but wrong. In season 2021-22, Liverpool lost only 2 matches. One was to Leicester City, but which London team was the second against? Was it Tottenham, West Ham or Chelsea?
Chelsea.
No, it was West Ham.
Of course it was West Ham!
West Ham.
Oh, that game.
I knew that, mate.
Oh, my God. Lloyd, you're okay, I think. Question 3. Which player, Adam, has made the most appearances for Liverpool? Is it Ian Callaghan, Alec Lindsay or Tommy Smith?
Ian Callaghan?
Yes, it is. He made 857 appearances. Wow. How amazing is that? Between 1958 and 1978. 1 out of 3, Adam. Now your general knowledge questions. I don't hold out a huge amount of hope here, but you never know. Which Arsenal player gave away a penalty on Sunday at Elland Road, which was subsequently missed by Patrick Bamford? Was it Gabriel Magalhães, William Saliba or Thomas Partey?
Was it Saliba?
It was Saliba. Referee Chris Kavanagh awarded a penalty to Leeds for a handball against William Saliba. I mean, you could see that Saliba knew the moment it happened. Obviously, they still spent 5 minutes examining it on VAR because they hadn't had enough delays that day. 2 out of 4. Last question, Adam. Who scored Tottenham's second goal in their home win against Everton on Saturday? Was it Bentancur, Perisic or Højbjerg?
Højbjerg.
It was Pierre-Emile Højbjerg's deflected shot beat Jordan Pickford to seal the win for Conte's side. And Adam scored a creditable, I think, after the start. He made 3 out of 5.
And I should have got West Ham. I should have got West Ham. So that's test.
Should have, could have, didn't. Lloyd's turn at Call Yourself a Fan. He's got to beat Adams 3 out of 5. So 3 on the Mariners and 2 general knowledge, Lloyd.
I still stay on the leaderboard if I get, regardless, I'm there, aren't I?
No, we're going to remove your name and erase it from the history books.
No, okay, I'm staying for. Whatever happens today, it's fine. I'll lose just for you, Adam.
All right, question 1. What was Grimsby Town's original stadium called? Was it A, Clee Park, B, Abbey Park, or C, Lovett Street?
B, Abbey Park.
No, mate, it's A. The Mariners played at Clee Park before moving to Abbey Park in 1889. He's checking his phone.
What was your question, sorry?
The question was, what was the Mariners' original stadium called? Was it Clee Park, Abbey Park, or Lovett Street? And they played at Clee Park before moving to Abbey Park in 1889.
That's really embarrassing, Lloyd.
It is. It's unbelievably embarrassing. I remember reading about that in the bookies.
No, you don't. You can't read.
Oh, my goodness, Lloyd. All right, question 2. Grimsby Town's biggest league attendance came in 1952, but who were their opponents that day? Was it Blackpool, Stockport, or Scunthorpe?
Oh, God. what are the options again?
Blackpool, Stockport, or Scunthorpe?
I want to say Scunthorpe because they're like local to us, but I've got a feeling that the other two would have been bigger. So I'm going to go Stockport.
Oh, we got it right. Excellent. Stockport. Oh, yeah, Grimsby beat Stockport County 4-0 on the day with 26,605 people in the stands. Now, I looked this up. That was the peak of the fishing industry, but Grimsby still only had a population of 100,000. Essentially, most of the men between 18 and 80 were at the game. Questions 1 out of 2. Question 3, Lloyd. Who scored Grimsby's first league goal this season? Was it Jordan Maguire, Drew, Ryan Taylor, or, you mentioned it before, Harry Clifton? Such a reassuringly old school football name. Who was it?
I'll go with Harry Clifton.
No, it is Maguire Drew. He scored in the 88th minute an equaliser versus Northampton and won Grimsby their first League 2 point of the season. 1 out of 3.
I was there as well.
You were. That's impressive. Okay, Lloyd. Who did Mo Salah beat to the ball before scoring against Manchester City on Sunday? Was it Ruben Dias, João Cancelo, or Nathan Ake?
Cancelo.
It was João Cancelo. Salah nicked the ball off João Cancelo before slotting the ball past Ederson. I'm assuming, Adam, you're happy to listen to that sentence again.
Absolutely. And I'd just like to also point out that if it was Trent Alexander-Arnold who'd got rolled as easily as João Cancelo did for that goal, that would have been all over the news for days, and not one person is talking about the shoddy defending of João Cancelo. Okay? Yeah, because there is an agenda at play.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's hardly any other news. That's the other point, isn't there, really? I mean, nothing going on. Okay, that's 2 out of 4. Final question, Lloyd. How many 0-0 draws were there in the Premier League this weekend? 1, 2, or 3?
I'm going to go 2.
There were 2. Leicester against Palace. Possibly the worst game I've ever seen. And Manchester United against Newcastle both finished without a goal. And with Ronaldo shaking his head in an angry way as well, which was really funny. Lloyd scored 3 out of 5 as well. An honourable draw. The revised table. Lloyd still on 4 for his excellent performance a few weeks ago. Adam slotting nicely in mid-table. Like Liverpool, really. That's it for the show. Thanks so much to Adam Rowe, Lloyd Griffith. See you next week.